It's episode 242. It's pepper time.
It's pepper time, baby. Back from vacation, back from the bathroom. It is the tone control. We're feeling good here tonight, boys. No, we're not. God, we're feeling fine.
And we're back, and it's time.
Here we are.
Here we are. It's the Tone Controls, and we're alive. Everybody's alive.
It's the minimum requirement these days,
yeah,
and we've hit it.
It's not always guaranteed. I think it's, you know.
You know, I can start us off.
Yeah, I thought you might.
Hang on. I got to put my phone in podcast mode. There we go. Okay. I got really sick between last episode and this episode, all the way up until basically yesterday. So yeah, you know, alive is kind of where I like to be.
Yeah. So and, far, I've always felt like that was where I wanted to be too.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, yeah. So, but what was it, Saturday night? I was really considering going to urgent care or an emergency room for fluids because I was incredibly ill with the stomach bug, with a stomach bug, that our little lovely sweet angel baby boy brought home from daycare. He had it Thursday.
Bless his heart.
And bless his heart. Yeah. He had it Thursday, threw up twice, and then was like, so here's the real amazing part. Threw up twice, did not shed a single tear.
Wow. He's he was just like, this is life.
He was like, wow, did you see that? He was just kind of like perplexed and like, holy my God, what did you guys look at that.
Wow.
Wow. And then, so yeah, two of those kind of right within an hour and he was fine.
Jeez. Okay.
Had like some weird bad appetite stuff. Didn't really want to eat. Totally fine.
Yeah.
You know, but, wish I could say the same for me. Was not good. Mm. Real bad, real bad. Like,
yeah.
And I know you get sick when you have a baby. It's just a thing. Usually I, for some reason, like stuffy nose, colds, you know, things like that always come to mind. But this is also a thing, and I kind of forgot.
We did that. Yep.
Yep. It's
twice,
awful.
As I recall.
Hopefully, we've already. This is our second time.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
In about a year, so it's man. How into this do we want to get? Because there's details, not details. There's things about this I want to share that I think are worth like explaining why I'm like off more than one might expect. I don't want to like super gross people out though.
I mean, that's the question. That's the question. I remember it.
Well,
vividly,
I think this is like a physical thing with me. So like,
okay.
I'll leave it pretty high level.
Yeah.
As long as I can remember, I've always been a really intensely kind of violent vomiter, right? If you have a thing about vomit, please fast forward.
Give us five, everybody, if you got a problem.
It is so incredibly strong, and like my body just, it's like from the tips of my toes all the way up, and it is horrible. It is absolutely the worst. This was Saturday, it's Monday now. I am so sore.
I
feel like I've been in a fist fight like over and over and over. So my ribs hurt, you know, my neck, like I had this crazy headache all day yesterday, Sunday, Father's Day, which was just a lovely combination of things. So, I feel like I've been just run over by a train and it's so bad. So I'm like really achy and sore from all of that. Just the sheer force of like,
wow.
Oh my God. It's intense. And I've always been that way and it's awful. So, I'm feeling like better. I think, you know, the virus part of it's over.
Yeah.
But I'm so sore and like, it hurts to cough and to laugh and to like yell at the dog and like stuff like that, where you're kind of like, where you push on your core, it hurts. So,
wow.
Yeah. No, not enjoying that. But anyway. No,
that sucks.
It super sucks. And now Beth is like, I don't know if I feel very good. So it's kind of making its rounds.
And isn't that that's the thing too, because it takes just as long. And I don't know, maybe it'd be worse, right, if everybody had it at the same time, because then who looks after, you know, who's the capable one at any given time? But that's the way it seems to go. That's the way I remember it too. You know, you'd have it, and as soon as you start feeling better, it's like, I feel a little sour.
Yeah.
Next person, like, in line.
Yep. Yeah. So, but we'll see. Maybe we'll get lucky. I don't know. So just, I think I'm better. I've had so much water. The other thing is, like, when you lose as much fluid as that, that's why I was saying, I think I might need to go somewhere. You run into this thing of like, when am I going to pee again? And like, how long is that before it's a problem?
Yeah.
So, this is like my fourth giant water bottle today and we're doing fine. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Luckily it only takes about as long to rehydrate as it did to dehydrate, generally speaking, for a human. So
Yeah. And then there's just the time in between where you're like waiting, like, okay, you know, am I going to keep this down? Am I going to keep water down?
Yeah.
Which was like also a factor. Anyway, I'll leave it there.
All right.
But yeah, gross, feeling terrible.
Damn. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Which was yesterday as we record this.
We had today off work because it's Juneteenth.
Yep.
And so I would have taken today off anyway, I'm pretty sure. I was feeling that bad this morning. I probably would have done it yesterday if I didn't have today off already lined up. So worked out really well. Jack did have daycare, which was like an absolute lifesaver because we just sat around. I played some Zelda. We watched Temple of Doom, ate snacks, and just sort of lazed around. And it was exactly what I needed. Like,
nice.
I've never needed something like that so badly in my life. So
nice.
Yeah. And that's all coming off of returning from vacation with the sick baby, who then got, like, you know, the stomach
different
bug thing.
Sick.
But now, different sick. Now he's like, so, and he's feeling amazing. And he's like, look at all this energy I have. What do I do with this? And he's been an absolute like wild
dad.
Baby.
What's your problem? Chase me.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's a little bit like, I'm so glad you're feeling better, but boy, I am not. I am not feeling better. So anyway, what's going on with you?
Well, so since returning back from our trip, I've had the next big project on my plate was this audiobook. I've talked about it a little bit. It's been fun. It is Juneteenth, and my neighborhood, or my, like, our village here, Woodlawn, they do the biggest and the baddest Juneteenth. So the party's raging down there. The music is not that loud, but there are musical performers. And right as we're finishing the podcast, or at least whenever they decide to, there's going to be fireworks. So I don't know if that's going to be heard on the mic. I was hearing some thumping as I started, but I can't actually hear it right now. So they might be between acts or something. But they block off the street. The field that I throw balls for my dogs in is totally done up with vendors and fun things for kids.
Oh my gosh.
People have parked. They've just clogged up the whole streets with cars and everything. All my house, like in front of my house, is all full of strangers' cars.
Oh man. So is this just like by the neighborhood, or is it a town, a city thing?
Well, it's Village of Woodlawn. So it's our, you know, our township or whatever. But, but you know, it's not the only one around too. It's funny. Cause like, until we moved here a few years ago, I'd not really heard of this holiday. Like, and I mean, I'm a white guy, like, I'm sorry, you know, and I'm not sure if it's also like this is also the time when it became an official national holiday.
Right. But that was only last year. So I was going to ask you if that was it last year or the year before?
I don't know. Biden did it.
It was so, right. So my point is it's not the same amount of time you've lived in this house.
I can't honestly remember if they were if it was being celebrated when we moved here and that's when I noticed it, or if it started being celebrated in this way when it became a national. I'm not sure. That's actually that's what I was kind of leading up to, is like, I don't really know. But we also lived before in a place with basically only white people. And now we're in a neighborhood that is, you know, majority
way more diverse.
Black. Yeah. And so anyway, there's a party going on. They did not.
Right on.
Luckily, they weren't making tons of noise and having musicians until like six. So it didn't interfere with the audiobook, which I definitely would have put me way behind on. But So anyway, the cool thing, it's audiobook recording like a real, like an actual novel is pretty grueling. It takes a long time. We completed day four and it was so long, and we're in striking distance here. I think we might need a little bit into day six, but the actor who's reading it is amazing.
Oh, good.
He's doing such a great job, and there's characters and they have different accents and he's switching in and out so damn fast. And he goes so long sometimes without making a mistake. It's unbelievable. And
so let me ask you this. When an audiobook narrator is like doing their thing, what's the logistic of that like? Because they're not reading just a print copy, right? Do they have a paper,
we're
binder manuscript? Okay.
Or an iPads. Yeah. I don't want pages being turned. In fact, I had one lady try to read off paper and it was just a nightmare because I was like, you've got to stop, turn a page, take a beat, and then continue. Like, you cannot keep making me stop you for this. It was like crazy trying to fight with her about it.
And so then when they encounter a slip up where they misspeak or something is enunciated weirdly, do you retake it right then or do you like,
I do.
Do you mark it and go back? Okay.
So if they're doing it themselves, I mean, there's different ways to approach it. You could just sort of keep rolling and put like clicks in or markers in or something. But I'm recording and I'm not going to be doing post-production on this. So I'm going to send it back to the editors in New York.
Oh, okay.
So I'm basically like a remote studio. So this guy is a screen and stage actor. He's been on Broadway. He's been in HBO programs. He's in a play right now that is currently in Cincinnati. Until the end of this week, they're going to finish their run, and then they're going to Indianapolis. And so while he's here on this play, that's why he's coming to my studio to do the recording.
Oh,
so he's
very
from
cool.
New York. The Recorded Books in New York hired me to record him while he's out here.
So they like catch a studio on the road and...
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then, that's very cool. And then hilariously, on Friday, I'm going to do another thing with the same actor... For a totally different publisher, it's going to be like a little one. It's like a 1.5 hour session. It's a multicast audiobook kind of production thing.
Oh, neat.
Some kind of sci-fi thing. I actually haven't read the script yet because I'm compartmentalizing. But but he was here and they contacted him about it. And he was like, well, we could use this studio without sort of telling them that he's already working with me on another book because it's none of their business. But it's like, so we're going to finish up and then we're going to do this other thing. Cause it's like, that's why this is here.
Yeah.
This is my
just
little
noticed, yeah.
temp booth thing in my background for the video. And I'm not going to move it. I'm just going to leave it all up. So there's different ways to do it. If you're doing it yourself, you'd probably just kind of pick it back up and then edit and post, but I'm going to feed them. So I'm doing what's called punch and roll. So because I'm here to manage it with him, I'm reading along on my second screen. And he usually catches himself, but occasionally I notice something that he didn't notice. But either way, we stop and I'll put it back at the next, like the logical sentence where he could pick it up. And for him, he's fantastic. I've dropped him on commas in the middle of a sentence before and he drops in, his inflection's perfect. So I give him a 2-second pre-roll. He hears a little bit of himself and then just starts again, you know, right where it's supposed to be. And
what a pro.
Yeah. I mean, with like this, it's great. And he
makes it easy.
On Friday, he got us heavily discounted tickets to the show that he's in. So we got to go see a play on Friday night, kind of randomly. They're definitely like $67 tickets that he got us for $12, which is pretty good. Right. We were like right in the middle on the main level and everything. We're not stuck in a balcony or something. So it was really, really cool. It's a cowboy thing. The play is Shane, which is an old novel and a movie from like the 50s. But anyway, they put it on stage. Really cool.
That sounds awesome.
I like that.
So I've done a little bit of voiceover work stuff for my job, actually.
Okay.
Every now and then I'll have to like narrate a presentation recording or something that goes out to our team. And I just, you know, JPEGs of PowerPoint slides basically, and then do the voiceover here with my podcast stuff.
Yeah.
And I have a script and I have to read it and record. And I'm like, every time I'm like, how do I do this? Right. I'm going to mess it up. And do I just leave it or do I like cut and delete and go again? And then I have to look at it later for putting into video as well. So I need to break it down. Like I'll leave a long pause when I like change pages or something like that, or change slides. So I can just visually see where right. it's supposed to cut. But then you get into weird stuff like, well, that's, you would not roll into the next statement that fast, right? You would not just say the next line so quickly, or that pause was really a little too long in kind of an awkward robotic way. So yeah, having to produce it and record it is awkward, but that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does do things himself. I mean, that's the age we live in, you know, like he has a USB mic, and like sometimes when he needs to record things, he doesn't have a place like this. So he just, so it's funny that just, like when the company hires a studio like me, or like a bigger facility that has like a proper booth and stuff, it's like, you know, all the gear that we have compared to, I don't know if they realize this, but half the time when they hire me for something, I'm using this USB mic, and he says my red box or something, which is, I assume, is a Focusrite Scarlett, you know? And it's like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's going to work just fine.
Mine can't reach the camera, but yeah, it's a Focusrite. Yeah. It's a fucking...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's kind of
funny.
Hopefully, hopefully at least the engineers can tell the difference. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, I also edit audiobooks from people who record it. It's the author recording at home, and you do what you can to kind of clean it up. Sometimes it's better than others.
The season of Big Mouth on Netflix, the season of that show that happened during COVID, they recorded at home. They did all the voiceover at home. And Nick Kroll has a lot of videos out there of him in his living room under a blanket, like under a comforter with his laptop. And he's just speaking into a mic, and it made it onto the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it works, it works.
Tons of that happened. And here's one. Hannah Worthington or what? Anyway, from Ted Lasso and
Hannah
Waddingham.
Waddingham.
Wow, why did I think Worthington? Anyway, so she had, they were doing a lot of that too, because their first season, I think, landed square in the middle of COVID. And the bit where she's singing karaoke.
Yeah.
And she has an amazing voice, but they recorded, and there were like bits that she wasn't happy with. From what they got. And so they mailed her a microphone kit, and she did her own punch-ins at home. And according to the producers, there are like two words in that song that were the bits she wasn't happy with that they cut in from what she recorded at home, and you can't tell. So, you know, great job on the audio team there. Well, this is a, how did we did talk? And then there was a guitar podcast that talked about this stuff. This is fine.
That's fine. This is adjacent. I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
I think people find this thing interesting. If you don't, let us know.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's leaving me just, I'm in this chair so much more. And I've also just not been by myself for like two straight weeks, which no offense to all of my friends and loved ones and everything. I still love you, but like,
you do not need to explain that more to me at all. I absolutely get it.
I usually have a lot of days or a lot of hours on many weekdays by myself, or with just dogs. And it feels,
it's different. And especially I noticed this when, Beth was on maternity leave. Before that, when she would have a federal holiday off that I didn't have off, and she would be home kind of for a random one day. It's like this weird sort of, I'm on in a different way, because it's like the performance of me at work is there, because I'm still in the house, you know? So it's just a weird thing. I think I said this before, but I had to explain to her, like, look, you have to understand, I can take 15 minutes to play guitar in the middle of the day at my job.
Right.
And it's like not a problem. You don't have to come up here and be like, shouldn't you be working?
Right.
So, yeah.
I'll tell you what I feel, besides just the general, I'm just not alone. And I feel like I don't have that decompression time. When I'm working, I am standing up every half hour or 45 minutes and like exercising a little
around,
bit. Yeah. I have like weights right over here, which I've now stuffed into the corner because I find it embarrassing to leave them around and people are going to come over. But like normally it's right there and I stand up and like do that and put a YouTube video on, and that's my like reset. And then I sit back down to do some more work. So that's the thing. Like I haven't been doing any of that for like,
I will occasionally go like for 10 minutes, right? Just a quick little reset. I'll go sit outside in the sun.
Yeah.
Like a lizard on a rock. And like, that's it. I just sit there and sort of like half doze a little bit and just like, oh, you know, take a little, just take a breather, get my vitamin D, and then like go back inside.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a little away from the screens for a minute. And, but yeah, when people are around, like it's weird. Yeah. If my in-laws are here watching the baby, I can't just be like, here, I'm going to go sit outside on this rock.
Yeah, I know. That feels so weird. Like if I'm going to, and I'll step inside the house to like do whatever, refill my coffee. And if Marielle's home, she's more used to it now, but like when she first started the grad school thing again, there'd be days where she's at home and she's working on homework and stuff. And then she commented to me like, you are like in and out and in and out and in and out like constantly. And I'm like, you don't give me shit.
This is my office.
This is my house. This is what I do, you know?
I totally get it. I don't apologize, because it turns into this weird thing where like your work becomes a decompression time and it becomes your own time, especially when you work from home. Probably way more so when you work from home than in an office. But like, it's a bizarre feeling. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize how much you've adjusted to it until you have these weeks where it's like, oh my God, like I just need to like sit in silence and not do anything.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right.
Hey, anyway. Speaking of things you can do while sitting in silence.
So let's see. Let me play something short. How about this?
Remember doing this. It's don't remember cool what it is.
It's the Echos.
Oh yeah, the Keeley.
Keeley
Echos. Tape delay thing.
Echos. Yeah, that's a cool one. I sort of had forgotten about that one, I guess. Anyways, so what the Keeley heck is makes this a good thing? Pedal.
So this is what you can do while you sit in silence. Sign up for a newsletter.
Boom. Do it.
Yeah. Haven't sent one yet. So that's how often we're going to do it.
You won't be pestered, but you'll be in when the great giveaway of 2023 finally happens.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to be there. Yeah. You're going to want to be there. Not to dwell on it, but if you're not on this mailing list in a few months, you're going to be fucking up.
You're going to be mad. You're going to see what's been on the giveaway deck, and you're going to be mad.
You're going to be like, oh, so, man.
That's all. Just saying. Sign up for that newsletter. It's in the show notes. It's pinned newsletter in Discord.
In the show notes, pinned in Discord. Do it. All right. Now, an actual news item is about to hit your ears, balls.
The Hudson Broadcast.
Oh, you know it.
You know it.
Broadcasting. All right.
Broadcasting. Guess what? Catalin Bread has a new tremolo pedal.
Damn right.
I like Catalin Bread. I like what they do. I like that their enclosures are a little bit smaller than everyone else, but they're not like super tiny. I like that they're
it's like
doing.
They're just trying to say something, but not very loud.
They're just like, yeah, like, hey. You can fit a few more of these on there without much sweat. So it's the Tremolo 8. Tremolate.
Got it.
Maybe. And it's a tremolo with 8 programs and some reverb built in. And I think this is cool. And I think, like I said, Catalin Bread makes some cool stuff. I like what they do as far as these like kind of weird time-based things and like other modulation things. They make some obviously amazing overdrives as well. But I think this space is where they're having a lot of fun experimenting with stuff. And I like to see that. So it's 8 programs. There's some built-in reverb. And the controls are rate, tone, mix, and space for each program. And the programs, like that, your tremolo options are sine wave with long reverb, square wave, sawtooth wave, a Fender Showman harmonic trim based on a 1960s Fender Showman, sine wave with chorus, envelope, and ring modulator. So if you scroll up on that page.
Responsive?
Yes. So you scroll up there maybe down. I don't know. There's something about controls. There we go. Drop that bad boy down. So it says here, The tone knob is your typical high pass filter, but a few of the settings will use it for program specific sounds, such as on the envelope, the tone knob changes the attack and release time. And on the sine wave with chorus thing, it changes the chorus rate, stuff like that. There's a few others as well.
And you got mix on here instead of mix. Like depth or something. I kind of hate when a tremolo has like a depth instead of a mix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like a subtle but important difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get around the perceived volume drop.
Mm-hmm.
With that kind of thing. And then inside there's a gain trimmer and a buffer switch. So you can give it a little more juice. And then right down there is a table showing you all of the stuff that this thing can do.
What the knobs change to if they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is what we're talking about here, right? I think number 7, envelope controlled tremolo rate, is the move. That's like my favorite thing. And so,
And envelope, this being responsive to your playing is what I'm picturing.
It's responsive. It says here somewhere.
Yeah, because envelope sensitivity is what the rate knob becomes. Right. So you're not changing. Yeah. So
controls input gain to envelope. Right. So, right. So based on your signal intensity or like the input level, it'll go faster.
Sort of read transients and things like that and react to them. So it's going to be really, really expressive. Wow.
Yeah. And the reverbs on these all change as well. So like on the sawtooth wave, it's a tight reverb with medium trails. I don't think you can manipulate the reverb more than just the single knob for it.
Mm-hmm.
But so you can't really get into like mix and depth and reflections and things like that with it, but it's not really for that. It's primarily a tremolo.
Yeah.
So, just a I mean,
extra thrown in there.
Yeah. Probably thrown it back to the tube amps of yesteryear, right? Where that have would be those two effects feature, built
right?
in.
Right.
Yeah. So, on Helix, I a lot of times will tie a tremolo rate to the expression pedal. And I find that to be a really fun way to do it. And then the switch on that expression pedal, kind of like a wah pedal, is the on off. The tremolo,
right?
So you can just like click into it and then you can rock it back and forth and do the speed thing, which is really fun. But the envelope idea, I think
I love
great.
That. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Play harder, correct. Get more. Yeah. Stand by. Motorcycle driving by. Blah, 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 blah.
Also ring mod mode. Because this pedal gives you the option to sound like shit. If you want to. I mean, it's there. If you want to use it, it's up to you. The point square is wave. They had another slot on their chip. Anyway, so.
A square wave LFO that shifts the rate into the audible range. So Adam Neely has this video where he, this motorcycle is still here, where he says like, okay, well, you know, A440, right? If you take a snare drum sound or like a click, a clave sound or something and play it 440 times, what happens? Like if you play, it turns into A, you know, and it doesn't really matter what the sound originally was, but it turns into this pitch that we know as A. And he kind of goes through the other notes and does that. And it's really fun. So that's all I could think of was this. Oh, you just make the tremolo so fast that it turns into a note.
Yeah, well, I mean, the bottom string on a standard tuned guitar is that E is like 91 hertz or something, or 89 hertz. It's like right around there.
Is that low? No way.
Yeah. No, that's the fundamental on a standard tuned electric guitar. That seems really low, right? But that
it does.
Most of the sonic energy is not the fundamental, right? Especially on an electric guitar or an acoustic guitar. There's just, it's mostly harmonic content. But yes, that's the fundamental pitch. So it wouldn't be that hard to achieve that, right? Mm-hmm. Either with something like this. This is the sort of range is where you're starting to come up. And then, you know, we hear pretty effectively down into, you know, 50 to 40 hertz and can perceive. It's still pretty much perceived pitch. I think below like 40 and 50 hertz, it starts to get just kind of like, almost like you sort of feel the air change in the room or something like that. It's like, is it humid in here or is somebody playing 30 hertz, you know? Like you can perceive it. It's not below human hearing, but it doesn't really sound like a note, right? Or that's how I've always felt about it anyway, this sort of, I think that's the thing that they've put in movies sometimes. This is such a weird tangent. Why did I start talking about this? But
I think like, so you could pad for time while I wrote that in the notes as a title. Okay.
But I think this has happened in movies and like, or, you know, it's like the Interstellar type of movie. And I can't remember his name, the composer. Anyway.
Is it Hans Zimmer?
Yes. Hans Zimmer would basically just put a tone in a scene, and it would happen for like a long time and you don't really notice that it's there. It's not like super loud, but the whole point of it is that it can get turned off and then the tension lifts and you suddenly feel like, and that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
They do that in Arrival. 30
hertz sound. Oh, do they? Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
There's a few moments in Arrival where like they do that thing where like all the reverb cuts away and it's like very intense and in your face feeling.
Yeah.
It may also be that where the tone just disappears, or maybe a little of both, but
yeah.
What a great effect. Anyway, you can super do that cool. with this Ring Mod tremulator thing.
Yeah. I don't think that's exactly what you could do, but the point is it has the ability to sound like garbage if you wanted to.
Yeah.
This is just me making fun of ring modulators. Don't worry about it. If you have cause to use that, then that's fine. All right, so the tremolo. I like tremolate.
I mean, it says right there tremolo 8, but
tremolo 8. But I. Oh yeah, tremolate you're right. Right here, they put the extra O on it.
Yeah.
But up here at the top, everybody. It says tremolate. That's a better name. Oh, on the pedal, it doesn't have the O.
$220 on this thing, which I think isn't bad considering. A lot of stuff under the hood. Very cool. The Tremolate.
I trust Tremolo 8
from Catalan Bread.
I trust Catalan Bread with a glass of water, you know?
Not a sippy cup? No way.
No.
They can carry a glass of water.
They can carry a whole glass of water for all I care. I trust them. So, yeah. Neat. Nifty.
There we go.
Well,
welcome to the end of the show, everybody.
This is it. That's all we had. I don't know what we.
Oh, I had
any listeners who are still sticking around. What are you thinking about, Derek? What's going on?
I have a weird thing I noticed about myself and my guitars. That's kind of a weird thing today.
Okay.
I've had this PRS.
Do you want me to play a sound to denote?
Yeah, sure.
That in this part of the podcast, we're talking about a weird thing Derek thought of. Let's write that in the notes, please. A weird thing Derek thought of. I don't know which one to play. I'm going to play.
Got a weird one.
It's not that weird.
So I've had this PRS Hollow Body 2 SE over here for a little over a year. Awesome guitar. Love it. Sounds great. Plays great. And today, after a little more than a year, I put strap locks on it.
Right on.
Because I wanted to start using it for my band. And
you're just not going to.
Sorry.
And Charlie says, hey.
Other dog, neighbor dog.
Oh, okay.
So question one for the community. What do I do with the old strap buttons?
I can tell you, I can remember when I put strap locks on my guitar, they went into the package that my strap locks came in and I saved it for some reason.
I have a bunch of these and... They just they're in a drawer of like miscellaneous guitar stuff.
Yeah.
Wrenches.
Right.
Parts,
right.
Tons of strap buttons.
I think that's where mine are too.
I keep thinking I'll come across some project where I need this exact shape. Right? Some little like home project that will be like, I have the perfect thing.
Is this like a kitschy kitchen thing where you just we're guitar folk, you're gonna make something and you got little hangers for your keys and stuff on the wall and it's made out of strap buttons and you're like, oh, look at this, or like buttons. tuning pegs that you're not using, stuff you just fill a board up with those and that's your key hanger. Everybody's like, well, this is an interesting little key hanger. It's a conversation piece, you know, when people you haven't seen in a while come over, it's like,
come over and hang their keys.
Yeah. Tell me the story about your little key hanger thing here. That's pretty wild.
Like, oh, it's literal junk.
That's but, some garbage that I couldn't think of anything to do with.
Yeah. I was too guilty to throw away. I put the strap locks on this guitar because I, if I'm going to play a guitar, even at practice and stuff, I want locks on it. Just want them. Matt says glue them on a board and encase them in epoxy and make a table. Could you imagine? Like,
yeah, I love that. Just like actually
a whole table and there's just like one little strap lock in the middle. That'd be so funny. But I have this feeling of like, now this guitar has strap locks on it and it's like eligible, right? It has entered this realm of like, okay, now we can get serious with this guitar. Cause I've used it at home a bunch and I've like played it with some friends and stuff, but I'm always kind of like cautious about it and very aware of how my strap is oriented in case it were to slip off.
Yeah.
And just, you know, now I put strap locks on and it's like, okay, now we can get down to business.
That's awesome. Next idea for Matt, put the strap buttons on each end of a coffee table. I guess then you could just put a strap on the coffee table.
I could put a strap on my coffee table for when I... Oh my God. I'll put one on each end and Beth's like, what is this for? And I'll be like, when we move sometime, you're going to thank me. I'm just like... rigged together like four guitar straps to reach, but it'll be worth it. So I don't know. That's just a funny thing that I was like, oh, now I can like feel more serious about this guitar.
Yeah.
Which is so stupid. It's such a stupid thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you though. Like I don't think I've ever done a show that I didn't have strap locks on the guitar for. It's probably not, I've never dropped a guitar.
I have at home.
Yeah. Like off a strap?
Yeah.
Oh, you
caught it.
Your like, home playing is really aggressive.
No, it was like I picked it up and the strap was like looped like upside down.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know.
All right. Okay. I wasn't, so that's like, easier doing than I'm imagining.
The flippy flips. Yeah. But I was 16 when that happened and I was like strap locks. And ever since, you know, I've just been really locked in on that.
Like,
so
it happens to you one time in your life.
Yeah. Right. So, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I noticed today as I was putting them on, I was like, I suddenly feel like I can really use this guitar now.
Yeah.
It's just such a stupid thing. But anyway, coming to a band practice near you, probably not.
Unless you are right near where Derek's band practices.
Yeah.
In which case it will be.
Coming to a show on July 7th. How about that?
Where are you playing on July 7th?
We're playing at a bar downtown. Like the place downtown
for bar shows.
You're
allowed to plug your gig on your own podcast.
It's called I'll get into it in the post show. It's called The Shaskeen, the name of the place.
Oh, I've been there.
We played there a million times.
Yep.
Many bands I've been in have played there and they really upgraded their live sound recently, like through the pandemic, and it's great.
Awesome.
So it's a really good spot and we're playing with our friends and other ex Delaney members who have started a Foo Fighters tribute band.
Nice.
We'll be there and, July 7th. It's a Friday, I think.
I mean, I'm not going to look at a calendar right now.
No, it's fine.
So it may well be a Friday.
We'll circle back. I'm not going to play the hollow body there. I'll be playing the Novo. But I'm just saying.
All right.
You know?
Yeah.
I've been playing the Novo like really exclusively with the band, except for E-flat songs. And I just want to like get some other guitars rolling in for fun because I have them.
Yeah.
I want to use them.
Yeah. What songs are in E-flat?
A lot of the emo set is in E-flat.
This is a culturally emo thing.
Like all of Taking Back Sunday stuff, Paramore, things like that.
Yeah, without throwing too much shade. Ugh, is my reaction to that, but it's fine.
Ugh is my reaction to that too. Delaney played an E-flat standard exclusively, and it bugged the hell out of me. I hated it so much. And I just like, I had to deal with it and it was fine. Yeah. The band was fine and the songs were good, but it was still just like, I hate this part. I just hate
it. You just have, you have like an invisible wall between you and like so much.
The rest of guitar world.
Yeah. There's so much other music, right?
Yeah. And it's not like, so I don't know. I didn't want to dedicate just one guitar to the band. I have a bunch and I wanted to use them all. So I had to like set up a bunch for E flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal, but it was just sort of the thing of all that. So, and it's, I think it, that sits differently with me than if you're a band that plays in like drop C, you know, if you're like,
I mean, obviously, but that's, yeah. Cause E flat. So that's not so different that you're totally setting up the guitar. Like you probably aren't going to get some different gauge strings, right?
I ended up doing that.
Okay.
But that was after a while.
Yeah.
And I preferred it, but it mm-hmm. was still like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I got things about E flat.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit of a barrier. Like I'm not like a perfect pitch snob or anything like that, but I do feel like it's a barrier and we're dancing around talking about like why somebody would choose to do that, I think. Because it's probably to do with a singer or something.
It's because, yeah, it's especially with like the emo set stuff. I totally get it. Cause there's a lot of like pretty high vocals in that type of music. And it's a lot of really intense singing for long stretches. So,
but like,
if you're not really comfortable in that range, like you can burn out fast and that stuff. But yeah.
I feel like, does that really change that much though? It is
half a step. I wonder that too.
You know, and yeah, so
like, we're playing.
I find it suspect.
Spoiler alert! At this gig, we're going to be playing "I Want to Dance with Somebody" by Whitney Houston, and we're doing like a rock cover of it, and we dropped it a whole step.
Yeah.
So when that song modulates up a whole step, we're back in the original key.
Until this, right, but not the original key that the song modulated to. But yeah.
No, the original key the song starts in.
Right,
sorry.
Right.
So it goes from like F sharp.
Yeah.
It's originally an F sharp and it modulates up to A flat, but we're doing it from E to F sharp and it fits. Right? And we have a female vocalist. Like she has the register and the range. It's purely for stamina.
Okay, it's just you're just a little more comfortable, but this is right, and I mean that's a different thing entirely because again now we're talking about being entertainment at a bar at a venue, being there for a long enough time that it matters. It's a totally different whole like way of being and things like that. So I guess I have all of these opinions are based on
but,
I'm writing new music and I've decided to write it in this. Other tuning.
That's a different thing. But
and
also
it's not like a weird tuning for the sake of tuning. It's just the whole thing is down a step. It's like, yeah.
And it's down a step, but we're still in standard. That's the thing. Like we're not dropping it down to E flat.
Right.
So guitar wise, it makes a lot more sense, I think.
Yeah.
It just feels better, like, you know, fretboard wise. But yeah. Wow, that was a weird tangent too, huh? How did we get on that?
I don't know. Is this residual from, this is sort of the we're exhausted version of what we've been doing lately, where we're just for some reason on fire with legitimate topics. We just can't be stopped lately.
You know, podcast day or the day before podcast day comes around and I'm like, oh my God, I have nothing.
What are we going to, this show is going to be 10 minutes long.
Right.
Yeah.
And then here we are.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Always happens. I'm fine. I'm fine with rolling on and doing our closing moments here. Was there a new segment we were going to add? Were we talking about something lately, or we were going to farm a segment somehow?
Oh, so somebody was going to do a stinger for us, right?
Yes,
we put
that's
the
right.
word out to do a stinger for Thing of the Week.
Have we said that
still,
on the show or just in Discord so far?
Maybe I think we said it on the show.
Did we?
Okay. Pretty sure it was on the show. Open call.
Open call, yeah.
Send us whatever you got. iPhone recording, I don't care. Send it in.
Some kind of stinger. It would be like a short-ish thing or whatever. I mean, if it's
yeah, like
fun,
a radio bump.
You know, like whatever it is, right? And whatever, yeah, and I mean, I feel like this is like it's like whose line is it anyway, a little bit. You're going to be prompting us, and then we're going to do our best to respond to that, right? With what the segment would be. And if we have if we have a stinger for it, maybe it won't just fizzle out and die like all our other segments.
Yeah, well, I think Thing of the Week is sticking around pretty well.
Thing of the Week is pretty good. But it's also, it's not like it doesn't have a stinger. Okay, so should we have a stinger for Thing of the Week? It stuck around.
That's
it's
what
really
I'm saying.
Earned it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like that was the request, yeah, was that people write us a stinger for thing of the week.
Oh,
send them in.
I didn't understand this at all. Oh, I was picturing we get a stinger and who knows what they say. Like the stinger would literally be too. Like, it's pepper time. You know, I don't know. and then we'd have to go.
My trunk hurts so bad, Justin.
Sorry. It's pepper time. So I just, and then we're going to do that. Whatever that turns out to be.
I like both. Let's start this off with thing of the week bumps, but like hit me with it's pepper time. Like I'll take whatever at this point.
That is literally the words that were in my brain at that moment. I don't think we have to be married to it's pepper time, but I was just imagining who knows what somebody, I'm going to play the stinger and I would guess what ahead of time. Yeah,
roll the dice. Gonna be. That'd be pretty fun. I like that idea. But yeah, I was thinking, okay. I used to listen to Stuff You Should Know a lot, yeah, and the podcast, and they at some point put the call out for someone to like write up a little, you know, post ad bump that is like, yeah, back to the show. And okay, then tons of people sent them in and they would just rotate through them and they were really, great, really fun.
Yeah.
Really fun. So hit us with that stuff.
That's, yeah, all. I mean, send us something. As long as it's fun, we will definitely play it.
Yeah. Rule and number one, fun, no bummers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just don't, you know, don't be sexist or racist. And yeah, you're pretty much fine, right? I mean, it's not pretty that hard, short everybody.
List. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I think we're fine. I think we're fine here. Yeah,
I think we covered it.
All right. Thing of the week.
Solved it.
Thing of the week.
There you go.
That's what it is.
Just take that little clip and put it on a button.
Yeah, just auto-tune the news me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. My thing of the week is the museum that we went to when we were all on vacation together.
Yay. I forgot to open up these tabs, so I'm going to do it right now. Okay.
And it's the Strong Museum of Play and the Toy Hall of Fame. This is in Rochester, New York. Mm-hmm. Folks, so go to the Strong National Museum of Play. Strong as in like strength. Yep. It's somebody's name, I guess. But this was super fun. And I think we all had a really good time. It's like a really great mix of a children's museum and an absolute nostalgia bomb for everyone,
yeah,
else.
Yeah, exactly. They're hitting every age group. I mean, a lot of stuff are toys. There's lots of stuff for small kids to play with. There's a ton of video game stuff, mm-hmm, and interwoven between everything else too, because like that quickly becomes part of toy and play history. And
right, you look at the 1980s through the 1990s, right? Like at this 20-year range, how like much happened with toy. Video games? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, versus like all of the 1800s.
Yeah, there was a picture on got taken of me and shared on Discord, but they had just examples of the random stuff. I mean, they've got exhibits for things, but there's a lot of stuff you can actually play. They had a Super Mario, like an NES setup, but the controller was like four feet wide. Yeah. And it was an NES D-pad. It was tough to play, but it functioned. And I played Mario on it, and I didn't lose.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Things like that.
So really fun. Lots of like climbable stuff, like kind of run around and, yeah, tie your kids out stuff, which is cool. They have the Sesame Street stoop,
yeah,
which was really cool to see.
Yeah, anyway, this is the best of it.
Yeah. And then there's also within there is the National Toy Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So just cool relics from,
yeah, and
every decade, it seems.
They induct things into it. There's a, in fact, we, some friends were over just the other day. One of our friends grew up in Syracuse area and, oh, okay, so was familiar with the museum. She said like locally they have like news remarks on when they induct new toys.
Oh, nice.
It's like like an annual thing, I think. They'll induct some new toys into the Hall of Fame and things. So it's a bit of a cultural thing.
And it's like, right, it's like actually Milton Bradley, the guy, right, that gets inducted, yeah, too, right? And right, all these other kind of names that you know as brands. But really fun spot.
Pretty neat.
Totally worth a trip if you're in the area.
Hell yeah.
And dude, and then like the brewery right behind it with the fried chicken sandwich. Oh my God. They're playing for keeps with that thing.
They really torched us with that. It was amazing. It was great. What was that place called? Strange Bird. Strange Bird. Shout out to Strange Bird, right kind of across the street from the Strong Play Museum.
Yeah.
Killed it. Also killed it. It was a great day.
It was a great day. And see, here's the thing. You get re-entry with your museum ticket. You go in, you break for lunch, you get a fried chicken sandwich and a beer. You come back to the museum, you're a little buzzed playing video games.
Fucking right? A.
Tell me that's not the best. And there's like tons of like cool comic book memorabilia in there. Mm-hmm. Lots of pinball machines, lots of arcade cabinets and stuff, which do cost
historic
separate
pinball
money.
Machines. Most of the video game stuff is coin op and you're buying 25 cents a play. They're basically unmodified cabinets, which is fine. I kind of think that they should include just maybe a handful of tokens in your ticket price. I don't think that would slow them down that much, but I don't think they should just let us play everything for free. I mean, it's maintenance and things too. Yeah. So I get it. But anyway, if I had a small criticism, it would be that like throw them in, you know, 4 or 8 tokens or something with the ticket. And then we'd be
not
really,
a deal breaker, but still a really fun place.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yep. And just plan on buying 4 or 8 tickets, or tokens. Cause then you'll have fun. Anyway. All right. Let me hit you with something. I had to deal with watering my lawn and I think I complained about it and stuff like that, learning about sprinklers and hoses and stuff like that. This was the rant about, I don't want to have to know about this, but now I have to.
Yeah.
But anyway, I eventually, through all my research, I got some new garden hoses that can properly handle the business and aren't garbage. I will tell you something. This is something I will never cheap out on hose again. Let me tell you about good hose, everybody. I will never cheap out on hose again because it's so worth it.
Are you asking me to write this down?
Yep. And so anyway, so here's what I settled on after some back and forth. I tried a few other like kinkless things and they were pure garbage.
I mean,
they were an absolute nightmare. They kinked worse than a regular hose because they're even more flexible. But like it's like, oh well, our hose lays flat when it's not inflated, so you can. It's kinkless.
Fucking
like
great.
No, it's not a pair of, it's not a headphone cord that's flat so it doesn't get tangled. It's a 75 foot hose. Yeah. Laying flat doesn't save it. Anyway, this is where I landed. This is some premium shit hose. Okay. And
yeah,
fucking. And I got the, you know what I got? I got the, let's see, they have a 5/8. Anyway, whatever. I got 5/8. I didn't get 3/4 inch. No. Wait, if I got this wrong, which one's bigger? I got whichever one's bigger. You gotta get the right thing for what you're
well,
trying to do.
5/8 is a little more than half. So 3/4.
Yeah, 3/4. So the 3/4 70. I think this is exactly what I had. What I ended up bringing home. But anyway, the point is, I got rid of all this old crappy hose. This stuff is like fire hose. Like it's like woven. And it does deflate, but it's not like rubber and it doesn't like want to, it doesn't keep trying to kink itself when it deflates like all these other kinkless things that claim to work well. This is the shit. Mm. This zero G, I haven't even said it. Anyway, it's this, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're all
it's fucking Amazon product. Like it's as, I honestly, I might, cause I fucking hate my hoses.
Well, I picked this up at Lowe's.
I hate
just
the
found,
hose I have in my
I found
yard.
An Amazon
trash,
link here,
so
but I just picked these up at Lowe's. It's not like you have to get this at Amazon, but like this is like contractor grade, blah, blah, blah. Like the valves are huge and overbuilt. And the hose is meaty and awesome, and it works great. And it's not like crazy heavy or anything. Anyway, this is the thing. Don't cheap
this
out on
hose.
This
is the thing, though. Like, right, $66 for a 75-foot hose. Like at the time, you're like, fuck, right? Like, that's enough to.
I want to spend $20. What's going on? Right? That's what you're thinking.
Or like that's like grocery money, or that's like something else. That's not a fucking garden hose. Yeah. But then, you know. Then you get into this and you're like,
right.
Well, shit, that's a pretty nice hose.
Yeah.
And now you're a guy who knows a lot about hose.
Yeah. And now I'm a guy who knows a lot about hose. Here's the thing. Yeah. You want that 3/4 diameter because you need a column of water to keep the pressure up. By the time it gets all the way out 75 feet, it's got to be powering a sprinkler at the end of that. If you're going to get coverage on your magnificent lawn domain, you've got to have that thickness. This is what I'm saying to you. I can string like multiple sprinklers together with this because it's got the throughput. You daisy chain your sprinklers.
Yeah.
You're damn right. Fuck.
Yeah. Fuck.
So anyway, I just thought I thought, you know what? I'm sharing this because I had to learn this crap. And the point is, don't go with these other, don't try to cheap out on, oh, this says it's kinkless.
Justin learned this stuff.
I bought other things and then brought them back to the store. And I was like, this isn't kinkless. Like, rewrap this kink for me, store person, because this is garbage. I'm really fired up, you guys.
I think you're fired up, but also, like, distinctly fired down.
Well, right?
Like,
I don't know
I
what
can
that
tell
means.
We're both, like,
yeah.
Like, we're both here for it, but also kind of like, I would rather sit on the couch, you know? Yeah.
But I'm not going to have to buy these again. You know what I mean? I've been dealing with hoses that break after you've had them for half a season or, you know, and just they're a pain to coil. And this is great. This is like you feed it into a 5-gallon bucket. That's how you can coil it. It's that easy. Pull it back out on the other side. You know
these
what
are
mean?
Homeowner dreams, you know?
I know. So anyway. This was the thing. This was the thing. So I highly recommend when next time you need a new hose. Why did he say it with that voice?
Head to episode 242 of the Tone Control for your hose recommendations. Let's stop this show.
Let us end this charade. Well, thanks everyone. What can I say except thanks for listening? We warned you. And you know, and thanks for listening. And let's thank for the support of the patrons that make the show, not only the show possible, but the giveaway is possible. Join the newsletter.
The giveaway is extremely possible.
The giveaway is extremely possible because of support from listeners like you. Sign up for the mailing list to become a part of that and sign up for Patreon to support the show and add your might to our army. Is that a thing we want? Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's fine.
The Tone Control Nation. I please don't call yourselves that.
Nope, that's not great. All right. Anyway, let's bring it home. Thanks everybody, and especially Nick Greenwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Jamie Evans, Doug King, Big Daddy Doug, Steve Huffman, Crom Twos, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks Podcast. Mako Guitars, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, Doug Christ of 37FX, and Sean Wright of Lollygagger FX. Thank you all ever so much. And that's going to do it.
It's going to do it.
See you next time.
Bye. Whoa, okay, bye.